this coming Tuesday, plaintiffs in the pepper spray trial will go to court for initial preliminary hearings. The trial is slated to go back to federal court on September 7th in San Francisco. Most listeners to KMUD will remember the trials come out of an incident when Humboldt County deputies forced pepper spray soaked Q-tips into the eyes of young nonviolent protesters in 1997 on a couple of occasions. The sit-in protests were at the Pacific Lumber Company land and at the headquarters of then-Congressman Frank Riggs. Dennis Cunningham is the attorney, one of the attorneys heading up this round of this particular case. He spoke with KMUD News on this Friday and explained what the pretrial session will be about. He said basically it will be so that Judge Susan Ilston will get an idea of what she will be handling.
There's motions on each side to limit the evidence, and she has to deal with those, and she has to look at the proposed jury instructions and whatever else that the two sides are not, you know, totally agreed upon, as far as like what will happen in the trial, then she has to decide on those things. So some of those things she'll probably decide on Tuesday, some she'll just hear argument and decide later.
What are some of the sticking points that you're aware of, Dennis?
Well, the generally speaking, the defendants, Sheriff Lewis and Sheriff Phelps, ex-Sheriff Lewis, you know, they want to bring in a lot of extraneous stuff, a lot of evidence about other events besides the three times when they smeared the pepper spray in people's eyes, to show, you know, whatever it is they want to show. I assume that these are demonstrators, and that they give law enforcement a problem, which, of course, is what it's all about. And that, so there'll be, you know, the scope of the evidence is one of the issues. What the particulars in the jury instructions should be, particularly on the subject of excessive force and the need for the use of force. Which, of course, was non-existent in these cases, and so then there's no authority under the law to use force when there's no need for force. So actually, the sheriff's got a loser case, but they haven't been able to acknowledge that. But it's that kind of stuff that goes on in the pretrial.
Now, what will be the thrust of the case once it goes to trial in September?
Well, the constitutional issue is whether the force that was used in the form of smearing pepper spray in people's eyes was excessive or wrongful. And that's fit into a context created by the Fourth Amendment, which says no unreasonable searches or seizures. And the Supreme Court considers that a seizure, which is usually an arrest, but it also includes any force that's used on a person that law enforcement is dealing with, usually in an arrest situation like this one. They're going to arrest them. They use force to reduce them to custody if they're resisting. Here they had them, except for the fact that they're in the lock boxes. They had a history, years-long history, of cutting them out of the lock boxes with the grinders. And they decided that they would escalate and try and use the pepper spray, I think, to punish them for the sit-ins and to intimidate them from doing other sit-ins rather than carry out the arrest. The Constitution forbids them to punish people summarily like that. It forbids them from that kind of use of force for any reason other than to overcome active resistance and take them into custody. And since they already had a way of doing that was tried and true with the grinder, this was something else again and not legitimate. And the Court of Appeals pretty much found that on the last go-round, but the defendants haven't been able to take that in.
Well, this is an issue that has come up in Humboldt County quite a bit, as you are probably more than aware, Dennis. And one of the questions that comes up for the county is, why spend the money to go forward with this? Why not settle with the plaintiffs? They have said that they tried to settle. What would be your response on that?
The who said they tried to settle?
The supervisors.
Oh yeah, but they didn't. That's not true. When we were about to go to trial a year and a half ago, there was an exchange about settlement, but their proposal for settlement was that we drop our case and that they remain free to continue to use this method, which the court had declared was unconstitutional. So it wasn't really a settlement offer at all. It was an offer to, I suppose, waive their costs if we would surrender. And, of course, we had no intention of surrender, especially since we already won the case in the appeal. So they're the ones who should give in and settle, because what the practice has been clearly condemned by the United States Court of Appeals. But they don't want to talk about that because they don't want to ever admit, like police everywhere, that anything they do was wrong.
What are you asking for in this trial, should you be successful?
Money damages, essentially, and attorney's fees. Now, the case haven't gone on for 7 years and haven't had a trial and 3 or 4 different appeals, and all the work that went into it got to get paid for on some level, not every penny on every dollar, I suppose, if there were to be a reasonable settlement negotiation. But the plaintiffs are entitled to compensation for the injuries they suffered. And even though there was no permanent injury, there was certainly some excruciating temporary injury and pain, and there's some permanent after effects, you know, in the way of, you know, running everything from bad dreams to fear of cops to just, you know, revulsion that comes back again and again in waves at the fact that the police, who are supposed to serve and protect, actually torment and punish at will when they get ready. So that in our system, as we all know, those things are all supposed to translate into money. And that's what the plaintiffs want, is to get paid money for the injuries they suffered, and also money in the form of punitive damages or exemplary damages against the sheriffs to show that that kind of conduct is wrong and that it won't be tolerated, to warn others not to do it, and to punish them for doing it independently of the losses suffered by the plaintiffs. So we're looking for all those things: punitive damages, compensatory damages, and attorney's fees. And of course, we assume that given the decision of the Court of Appeals, there'll be no more such use of pepper spray. That may not be clear to them that they're forbidden from doing it. We may have to have some further proceedings in the court to nail that down.
Yeah, as I understand, that was one of the things the activists were asking for early on. In fact, maybe even the only thing they were asking for at an early stage in the game.
I think that's right, and it's the main thing they've always asked for. I think that I wasn't in the case early on, but my understanding is from people who were that they, in the beginning, if they would have promised not to do it anymore, that would have been the end of the case. Instead of that, it's gone on for 7 years of litigation. Some lawyers are getting rich on one side and just building up hopes on the other. And there's this kind of stubborn refusal and underneath it all to acknowledge that this is wrong. And instead of that, they keep saying, oh, no, we have to have this tool in our arsenal to use against protesters, even though, like I say, the Court of Appeals made it quite clear that it's unconstitutional.
And even at this stage, with the trial date set for September 7th and everybody ready to go forward, Dennis Cunningham says the county still has a chance to make things okay.
It's certainly not too late to resolve this case without the added burden and extensive and, you know, exercise of another trial, but we'll have to see.
And again, that was Dennis Cunningham. Cunningham and his team of attorneys recently won the historic case of Judy Barry and Daryl Cherney against the FBI in the Oakland bombing case. We will, of course, keep you posted.